Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on Credit Card Rewards Travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin.
Welcome back to Wonderland on Points. Mary Ellen actually did introduce this episode, but when it came time to actually edit it, I went back and found that our first file had been corrupted. We'd been having a lot of internet and tech issues, so we had stopped the recording and restarted it. And what do you know? When I went back, our original recording was not usable in any way, shape, or form. So here I am making us an intro well after this episode was actually recorded. But the great news is that the bulk of it is actually here, and you will, in fact, get to hear our friend Joy talk all about her Harry Potter experience in Europe. This is a fantastic episode. You are not going to want to miss it. The audio actually picks up right when Joy was introducing herself, so you barely missed anything at all. And thank you for bearing with us when inevitable tech difficulties come.
So I'm Joy with Savvy Travel Mamas, and my mom and I run our site. She's actually an OG of Points Travel. She's been doing this for well over 25 years, and I started finally a few years ago after she went out and I'd be jealous. I was really jealous of all her decisions. Now here I am.
Well, yes. We're so glad that you are back. You're both experts now. Let's get this trip because we want to plenty on cards.
Looking back now, I probably wouldn't have spent the $212 that we did for seat selection. But I don't always enjoy being in the back of the plane, and I just wanted to make sure that we were, like, I didn't pay for an upgrade, but I didn't want to be, like, in super crappy seats. So that's why I did it, because it was just a really long flight.
Yeah, and honestly, to be a little bit more comfortable, $200 for three people really doesn't sound like that big of a deal, especially when everything else is on points. But I was just confused because I didn't remember having to pay to select my seat. So that's like an optional thing you could do then.
Yes, yes.
I just want to confirm, was this a one-way price or was this the round-trip price?
One-way. Yeah.
Okay, just clarifying. Okay.
Did you end up coming home from Scotland?
No, we actually came home from Dublin.
Oh, okay.
We jumped all over.
You sure did. It's much like Mary Ellen's Europe trip. But we won't be talking about coming home from Dublin because I already told you guys all about what it's like to come home from Dublin. So this, we're going to stick to the Harry Potter stuff for the rest of this trip. But what I did love that you put on here was that the cash price, not counting seat selections, but the cash price for these three flights was $3,839. You literally spent $69. That is insane. I love it. I love points and miles. It makes me so happy. Okay, so you get to London, right? And it's largely Harry Potter themed. Is there an area of London that you feel like is the best place to stay if you're really going to try to experience all the Harry Potter stuff?
So we stayed in Westminster. I have a really strict rule. If I pay, I don't go. And I wanted to be able, finding a hotel room for three. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have enough Capital One miles to worry about an Airbnb at that point. So I just had to go with what I could find, and there were no Hyatt options available for the three of us. So I went with IHG, which I love IHG, and I know like it's very mixed across points people, but I actually love them. I love their quality. I love that it's free breakfast. And then it's just, you always know what you're going to get with IHG. I also have the IHG card, so I get my fourth night free. And there was a 70% transfer bonus at the time of booking. So nice. I got a steel on our room, and it fit three people. It had a pull-out sofa. It was super comfortable, and we had air conditioning. So I can't
complain. That's a win right there.
I mean, which IHG was this?
It was the Holiday Inn Express Victoria. It was within a 15-minute walk to, like, Buckingham Palace, okay. All of the Big Ben, if we wanted to walk it. If not, the, like, bus was a half block away, and the tube was, I think, a block away. So okay. We were really accessible to everything that we wanted to do. And you guys have been to London. You know how easy it is to get around and navigate. Like, it was so much easier than I ever expected it to be. So I thought it was a really great location. It was quiet. It wasn't as crowded right where we were.
Sounds
it
awesome.
It was very residential, so it was really cool. Like, the buildings were, it was such a cool area. Like, the buildings were all white. I felt like I was in, Mary Poppins a little bit.
Oh, how fun.
That's exactly how I felt during our tour of the Notting Hill area. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so like Cherry Tree Lane, which I was devastated to learn is a set and not a place that I could actually visit when I was in London, because I did try.
But I think it was based off this like area in Westminster, because I remember saying something to the front desk, like, I feel like I'm in Mary Poppins right now. And there are quite a few movies filmed right over there.
Okay, so let's get into the studio tour for Harry Potter. Tell us all the details. I know you have some tips on, you know, how much time you need to allow to go and visit that. So give us all the good details.
Oh my gosh. This, if you're going to splurge on one thing in London, like, there's so much Harry Potter stuff you can do that's free or really like easy and accessible to just see as filming sites. But if you want to splurge, you have to do the studio tour. This was probably one of the highlights of my trip. I mean, there's so much of our trip that was amazing, but we spent 7 hours in the studio and we could have been there longer. It was just incredible. Like, the amount of detail that they went to and the interactive abilities that you had, like, they filmed all the movies here after the first one. So you get actually on set with them. You see the mock-ups of like the wigs and the makeup and how they created stuff and like how they blew up Gringotts Bank and like how they filmed Diagon Alley and it versus Hogsmeade. And just, it's so cool just to learn all these facts about the filming of the movie, but just the interactive piece of it as well. We splurged and did the tea, which I would highly, highly, highly. You're in London. You have to do a tea. Make it a Harry Potter tea if you're going to do a Harry Potter trip. I have a post where I have actually several posts where I did a whole Harry Potter series. But the tea, just the amount of detail that they did and the just really cool experience. They took all these movie elements and put them into food. And it was delicious. Like, we loved every aspect of that. And then it filled us up right before the tour so that we could go through the tour and not be hungry or not want to spend more money as we go through the tour. So,
okay. Well, obviously we have very important questions because you said the word splurge. So I think it's reasonable to ask, how much did the tour cost? How much was the tea? And then I know that actually, like, the tour itself is not actually in London, right? It's quite a ways outside of London. What was that process like getting out there?
Okay, so let's talk about getting there first. It's in a, it's still in London. It's kind of like a suburb of London. So it took us about an hour to get there. We had to take the tube and then switch to a train and then just go on the train for a couple stops and then get off. So it was actually really easy to get to once we were there. Once you get off the train, they have a shuttle bus ready to take you to the tour. You just have to show them your pre-purchase ticket. So you can't just show up. You have to pre-purchase a ticket to go there with a time slot. And then it's like a 20-minute ride on the shuttle. Like, it's a double-decker bus that's air-conditioned that they're playing like Harry Potter videos and music to get you ready for the tour as you go there. So when you get there, it's just like, it's like you're at a Universal theme park, right? Like, walking into a Harry Potter ride is what you feel like, because the detail starts on the outside, right? Like, the, you get off the bus and the fencing to the building is lined in like the newspapers, right, from Harry Potter. And then you get to the main walkway and they have these massive wands, just like four times your size. lining the walkway, like one after another, so you can see in detail what their wands really look like. And you go, it's just magical walking in, walking in the whole experience. And okay, so the cost of it, and I should have double checked my notes on this part. I want to say the tickets were a little over 100 per person to get there for the studio tour. Yes, it was a splurge, but this was a big trip for our son, and this was like a must do for us. And then the tea, I want to say it was like $50 a person, but I don't quote me on that.
And that's, let's be honest, any high tea, especially a high tea in London, is going to cost at least $50. So that does sound expensive because high tea is just expensive. I mean, I've paid more than that for high tea in the U.S. So it's an expensive activity, but it can be really special. And especially if it was themed for Harry Potter, I imagine it was wonderful.
And it's important to remember that you didn't spend almost $4,000 on flights. You didn't spend any money on your hotel. That's where we are allocating this travel budget towards something different that under normal circumstances, it would be like, well, can we afford $150 per person? Probably not, but you can when your flights and hotels are basically free. So it sounds really, really amazing. I could probably talk about the studio tour all day, but I do want to make sure we have time to get through all of the other Harry Potter-ish things in London. I did not realize how many filming locations I actually could have accessed from the parts of London where we were in, which is sad, but I did make it to King's Cross Station. Have to say, disappointing. I did not find it very exciting. It's mostly just like a gift shop and a photo op now. It's not the same exact place in the station that they filmed. It's fun seeing the station itself. It's fun seeing the outside. It's fun looking at the actual train platforms. But they have kind of made a big spectacle of the platform, and now it's just basically a tourist stop for a picture in a gift shop. And so it's fine. I just wanted to see the actual platform with the 9 3/4. And they used to, back in the day, a long, long time ago, have the actual platform with its marker still up. It's like over on the train platform. That's not a thing anymore. What else did I see? I also, Harry Potter, on this London trip, England trip, was able to see the cliffs where they filmed part of the Deathly Hallow movies. That was cool, but that was in rural England. So other than that, I did no Harry Potter things. And I'm interested to hear which things you guys did and which things you wish you would do or recommend people would do if they want to make a full-blown Harry Potter experience.
Awesome. Okay, so I had actually talked to one of my friends who did this trip the summer before with her daughter. And I was like, I need to know all the things. What's worth it? What's not worth it? How do I get to the studio tour? Like, she really kind of held my hand on top of my own research to figure it all out. And she, the first thing she told me is, don't waste your time at King's Cross Station. You're going to get a much better photo opportunity at the studio tour yourself. And she kind of told me what was worth it, what wasn't worth it. Which was really good to be able to have that experience. And I'm glad we didn't make the time for King's Cross Station to go there because I've also heard there's really long lines. We walked straight up to the photo site and just did it ourselves. Not a big deal. Just experienced it and had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I actually had to take the train out of King's Cross. It was like a walk from our Airbnb. So we were there to actually go somewhere. Yeah. But obviously, since we were there, I wanted to see it. But I was like, I'm not standing in line to take a picture at this made up photo op set. That doesn't do anything for me. So I agree. Skip.
And that's the cool thing is like there's so much free stuff that you can do in both London and Scotland and really get like a Harry Potter experience without it. And there are Harry Potter tours that you can get on like Viator that, you know, will go through like or get your guide, right? You can buy Harry Potter themed tours where they walk you through filming sites in there if you didn't want to pay the price for the studio tour. There's just nothing like the studio tour. Like it's just unlike anything I've ever experienced. We had a lot of places on our itinerary, but we ran out of time because it was London, and we also wanted to make sure that we did a few other iconic London things, like seeing Big Ben and you know, seeing St. James Park, walking past Buckingham Palace, we had to hit up the Lego store because it's one of the largest Lego stores in the world, which had a really cool Harry Potter themed set, like set up inside of it. So we got a lot more pictures in the Lego store, which was a fun little thing. And we had to go to the M&M store, which also had some Harry Potter setups in it.
Yep.
So when you're traveling with your kids, you want to make sure you hit some of those kid things to make it fun for them too. Some of the stuff we had on our list, like the Millennium Bridge, which is where they did quite a bit of filming too. You can walk across it. We didn't get a walk across it, but we did see it. It's a great photo stop for Harry Potter. The Gringotts Bank is actually the Australia House Bank. So we wanted to really try to make it to the Australia House to walk in and see the actual place. That's where they said that the first movie was actually filmed in the bank. And then they had to build a set because they were going to blow it up in later movies and they couldn't actually blow up the bank. So so it was kind of cool to, like, we really wanted to do that. Scotland Place was where the Ministry of Magic site was based off of. Diagon Alley was based off Leadenhall Market. It was a place that looks like it. So there's a lot of free places within the city that you can just kind of make your itinerary and go walk through and see. You can always leverage ChatGPT too if you want to do a full-on Harry Potter. Like, make a list of places you want to see, ask ChatGPT to put it together an itinerary for you so you're not jumping from here to here and here and here, and you're like keeping it in an order that makes sense, that's walkable, or your locations work one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
Did you use it to our advantage?
Yes.
That's right. Did you go to Piccadilly Circus or the Georgian House Hotel?
Oh, yes, the Georgian House Hotel. Thank you. Yes. So we did do the Georgian House Hotel because it was right around the corner from our hotel. And it was really cool. So there actually wasn't any filming there, but they have created this Harry Potter experience within the hotel. Now, you can't book it on points or anything, but if you did want to pay cash and spend a night there, they have suites that are designed to look like the Harry Potter dorm room that they stay in. And so we just walked in. You know, I'm like an old hotel person. I used to work in hotels, and I love just walking in hotels and asking to see a room. People think I'm crazy, but I do it a lot. And so we walked in, and I just asked him, I said, hey, do you guys have any of your Harry Potter rooms that we can see? We're here on a Harry Potter trip, and I read that, like, you have some really cool rooms that are themed. And they took us into a couple different rooms.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
They would be willing to do that.
A lot of hotels are, if you're just really nice about it.
I would have never, never thought to ask that. But you used to work for a hotel, right? You worked in hospitality. So this is kind of your realm.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you can, even if you want to, you can just walk in and say, hey, we're looking at a place to stay tonight, but can I see a room first? And then a lot of times you can try that route too.
Yeah, you would. I mean, it would be worth it to them, I would think, to do that, especially if it's not rented out yet. That makes a lot of sense to me. The Piccadilly Circus intersection of six roads, I feel like I can vividly remember this point in the movie. Did you happen to see that?
We drove by it on, like, one of our city tours. I think we didn't get to go experience it the full way I wanted to because we just ran out of time. There's so much to do and see in London.
Yeah.
And I was trying to make this ultimate Harry Potter trip for my son, but then I'm like, but wait, I want to see this other stuff. And then he had a list of other stuff that wasn't Harry Potter. But yes, Piccadilly Circus has a lot of, like, cool filming sites. Yeah. And it's that point where the six streets intersect.
Yeah. I feel like we had that exact, I think both of us, Mary Ellen and I, had the experience where we were just like, so much London, not enough time.
Mm-hmm.
I think stuff got cut off of everybody's itineraries, if I'm remembering correctly. I think we were actually near the Piccadilly Circus area during one of our dates that we were running around. I think we actually ended up having a bus stop over there. And I don't think I realized at the time where I was. Or I would have tried to, like, because this, I didn't do any Harry Potter research really before I left because nobody in my family cares. I feel like I missed some stuff.
Well, some of it's hard too, right? Because things look different in the films because they're getting specific angles to give you an experience. And there's not like crowds of people and they're focusing your eyes in on what they want you to see. And then when you go there in person, there's traffic, there's crowds, there's so much other stuff going on. And you're like, oh, wait, what am I looking for? Where is it again? Because there's so much to grab your attention to.
Right. It's just different. So did we capture everything in London that you did that was Harry Potter? Is it time to move on to Scotland now?
Yes, I would definitely go to Scotland. Because that's the other piece in London, too, is after we did the studio tour, like, we got so much Harry Potter that day, we were fine kind of missing some of the other Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And because we had...
You filled your Harry Potter cup.
Consumed it.
Overflowing. The cup overflowing.
We had a lot more planned for Scotland.
So let's talk about getting to Scotland. How did you do that? Was it an expensive transition over to Scotland?
So we actually chose to fly out of a smaller airport in London. I really wanted to avoid flying out of London Heathrow if I could, just because it's such a monster. So we did London City directly into Glasgow. And I found those flights on British Airways is what I did, because you can use British Airways and get around so easily. And I think there was another transfer bonus at the time I booked this, because they're always running a transfer bonus, I feel like, from one of the banks, right? You can get to Avios, whether it's British Airways or a different airline, there's always a way to get them on a transfer bonus. So I did that. It was 36,000 points total and $27. The only reason it was that expensive is because the specific flight I wanted, which left a little bit later in the day, only had two seats in economy and one left in first class.
Yeah.
So my son and I were really only $2, and I gave my husband the first class seat, and he was $25.
Hilarious. That was very kind and generous of you. I want to tell everybody something that I don't think I said on the podcast. When I was planning our Europe trip, before it changed like 27 times, and we had originally been going to Ireland as part of our trip, and I had originally gotten so excited about, I think it was like an 8,000 point British Airways flight from London to Dublin. I was like, this is great. And it was, you know, like the taxes and fees were, I don't know, 10 or 15 or something. It didn't seem like a lot. I ended up just on a whim going back after I booked those and checking the cash rate. And that flight was like $70. And I was like, I don't want to spend these points. I'd rather spend $70 a person than this many points that I know can get me a way more expensive trip at some point. So I actually canceled and rebooked in cash. Now, did this end up biting me in the butt later when I decided to scrap this portion of my trip and had to pay a cancellation fee? Yes, it did. But the point is, do be looking at cash rates versus points rates when it comes to those puddle jumper flights, just because some of them are so gosh darn cheap that you might be just better off paying for them and getting some multipliers.
This is a really good tip for me, because I'm trying to get my family to Norway next summer, and I thought it was going to be easier than it is proving to be, just because the taxes and fees are so much. A lot of the airlines that I want to fly, it's telling me like two stops. I refuse to do two stops. I prefer nonstop. I will not do more than one stop. So I am just looking at all kinds of options. But I think what could happen is that I find a cheap flight to Europe, somewhere in Europe, and then just try to find a cheaper flight up to Norway, like a little jumper flight, like you're saying, that maybe even will be cash. But it's good to look at those options, because I think we get so caught up in putting in our final destination, you know, where we want to start in our final destination. And sometimes it does take a little more creativity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like positioning, but on the opposite end. So just a couple things to keep your eyeballs on. So you went straight to Glasgow. Did you stay in Glasgow to do a lot of things, or did you venture outside of it? I know nothing about Glasgow. I always hear about Edinburgh.
So if you want to do a full-on Harry Potter trip, Edinburgh is the place to go. We did not make it this trip because we obviously only had so much time. And Glasgow actually served two purposes for us. The first one was I really wanted to give my son the Harry Potter train experience, the Hogwarts Express. And it goes in Highlands and up in the Highlands. And the easiest way to get there was to go in and out of Glasgow because we just rented a car and we drove a couple hours north into the Highlands and we were in Fort William. So when we first flew in there, that's what we did. We went straight to our car and we drove up to the Highlands. Fort William is this little bitty gorgeous town right at the base of Ben Nevis, which is the tallest point in Scotland, I think in all of UK actually. And it was just this cute little mountain town. We fell in love with it. We only spent one night there. We actually stayed. There were no chain hotels. I shouldn't say that. There was a Hilton like castle there, but it was a ridiculous amount of points. So I just went to the Capital One portal and just booked a hotel using Capital One portal miles that way. Which I found this place turns out to be an old jail cell turned into a hotel. And they had legit jail cell rooms. We did not book one of those. We booked a family suite, but they had like, you could stay in a jail cell room behind the bars with a community bathroom. And it was a full experience that they had.
Pass.
I think I have a post on that on Instagram too, where I kind of do a walk through the hotel. But we stayed in a family suite where they took like the garage where they kept all of the officers' cars and stuff, and they turned it into nicer rooms. And that's where we stayed. And it was like this super comfortable suite. I wish we would have spent more than one night there. But that's where the train leaves from. So the Hogwarts Express is also known as the Jacobite, which is one of the most scenic train rides in the world. So if you were to Google like the top 10 scenic train rides, the Jacobite is going to come up in like 1, 2, 3, probably on almost every site. It's going to be right there. And it is a hour and a half long train ride or 2 hour train ride that goes further into the Highlands. And apparently you have to get your tickets to the train ride like 6 months or more in advance. And I slacked on it and I did not get them. And I was so mad at myself because I already had our whole trip booked around it. I just didn't book that excursion. I don't know why I didn't do it. And I started reading everything and it said you can show up with cash day of on the platform. And if they have seats left, they'll give them for you. So we show up there the next morning, day of, to try to get a cash seat. They sold the last two tickets to the people in front of us. And I wanted to cry for my son. I was like, ah. But they still let us get on the train and walk up and down the train and experience it. So I have all these fun pictures of us actually like being on the train and getting to see what it looks like. And then what we did is we just took our car and we followed the train, which turned out to be way better than being on the train. Because there's so many like gorgeous stop off points on that trip. And you can look up itineraries that say like places to stop along this path. And we actually had the opportunity to stop and experience some of them and stop at lookout points and get some really cool photos. And we got to watch the train cross over the Glenfannan Viaduct.
Right. Which was iconic.
Yes. Which is the iconic experience. And that was something we wouldn't have got to do if we were on the train.
Right. Yeah. How much would it have been if you had managed to grab a seat?
Oh gosh. I actually had to go find an ATM in London to get cash out. And then now I still have all this cash that I just
Oh no.
I don't pay cash. I pay credit card everywhere. So I'm just saving it for my next trip.
There you go.
So I want to say it was like the equivalent of like $280 US
total for all three of you.
For us to do the train ride for all three of us.
Does it go and come back?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's a day trip. You go to so you're on the train, you go from Fort William to Mullaig, and then they stop off at Mullaig for like 2 hours. They get off and there's all these excursions and it's this cute little bitty like sea town, right? And I had already booked us an excursion in Mullaig and we were doing this like sea life tour where we got to go see sea lions and we were trying to find whales, and it was like a wildlife boat tour that you can do up there. So we did that. We already had that booked.
You just drove
beforehand.
There.
We just drove there. So, but there were a lot of people on the train ride on our excursion boat tour with us because they time it. And there's some other excursions there that are timed specifically for the train so that you can do them and get back on the train and then go back. And that's what we did. And then we just followed the train back, but we beat the train there. So we got to watch it like pull up. And I have video of like the train pulling up into the train station. And then, I don't know. It was just fun to chase the train and try to find, are we ahead of it? Are we behind it? Where is it?
I love that you guys made lemonade out of lemons. Like that could have gone so, you know, it could have just ruined things and you could have been depressed and mad. And instead you were like, hey, let's do this. Number one, you were bold enough to say, can I at least get on the train and take some pictures, which is awesome. And then you found and you were like, you know what? This turned out even better. I do have a question though. You're talking about having a car. So do you, had you already rented a car? How did you pay for that car, or how did all that happen? Cause I'm not sure where the car came from. Was that at the airport?
Yes. So I knew to get to Fort William, we'd have to have a car because it was a couple hours away from Glasgow. And it was like, you know, your major airports are Glasgow or Edinburgh. And if you're going to the Highlands, you have to have a car to get around. So that's what we did. I had it rented well in advance. I'm not the best person because I don't do cars on points. I have a family member that works for Enterprise Corporate. And so I always take advantage of the friends and family rate that way. But that's what we did. We had our car already prearranged.
How is the driving on the wrong side of everything?
Well, so the car was a stick shift.
Oh, no.
Which is, yes. My husband knows how to drive a stick shift.
Okay,
like he
right.
can pretty much drive anything. I know how, but I was not about to attempt a stick shift in a foreign country. And if we wanted to upgrade to a man or to an automatic, it was going to cost us like $50 more a day or something. Because they only had like one specific type of an automatic left. So we just went with the stick shift. I didn't drive at all. Plus I was too nervous to drive anyway, being on the wrong side of the road. And some of those roads in the Highlands are tiny.
Girl, yes. This is a great time to shout out Trippiamo, who is one of our partners. We do have a code for their online driving schools, guys. Made all the difference for me when I was driving in rural England. We have a code somewhere in the show notes. You'll find it. But if you are going somewhere where you have to drive on the wrong side of the road for the first time, you will feel so much more confident. If you watch these videos, read through the rules, do the tutorials, it literally was night and day between making me an absolute nervous wreck and coming into it feeling fairly confident about just getting on the road, doing something brand new while driving a big hunk of metal at 70 miles per hour. So just had to stick that in there because I feel like that's a good moment for that. So we didn't really talk about Glasgow, but did you stay in Glasgow and see anything at all? And what is Harry Potter in Glasgow?
Okay, so after we left the Highlands, we came back to Glasgow, and we also chased down the Loch Ness Monster because we were right by Loch Ness and Fort Augustus, which is the, you know, the whole lake for the Loch Ness Monster, and that was, we had to go do that, right? Yeah. My son wanted to go chase down Nessie, so that's a whole experience in itself, which was really cool and fun. And then, so we get back, and on the drive from Glasgow to Fort William, there are also many more filming spots. So you can stop and go see more filming spots along the way.
Are they labeled in any way? Because when I went to Switzerland to try to chase down filming locations for Crash Landing on You, the K-drama I love, there were these hearts that they had installed there. And I would imagine with Harry Potter being, you know, just massive, massive worldwide, was there any kind of anything to let you know, oh, hey, this is one of the spots?
No, this was all just research I had done beforehand and reading blogs on filming sites in Europe and filming sites in London, filming sites in Scotland. So Hagrid, his house, like the backdrop in the movie is Glencoe Valley, which is also one of the most gorgeous sets. And it was on the way from Glasgow to Fort William and back. we wanted to stop, but it was pouring down rain. Sad. And you had to like kind of hike to it a little bit. So we didn't, and it was already getting dark by the time we just got there and got dinner and were moving. So I was a little sad. And then when we drove back the day before, because we spent so much time exploring, following the train, and really taking in that moment, it was also dark driving back to Glasgow.
That is so sad. It was cold and rainy when we drove past the cliffs in the English countryside where the Deathly Hallows scenes were filmed. And that also required like a little hike in to get to the bottom of them. And Juliet was so tired. It was getting dark. It was like misting rain. And she's like, I'm not doing this. So I just have really far away pictures and videos. I'm like, that's a filming location right over there.
Yeah, so Glencoe Valley is one of the most gorgeous sites in Scotland, supposedly, just in general, to see. And that's why they had that for his backdrop. Okay, so then in Glasgow, because it rained almost the entire time in Scotland, and I'm not talking like a drizzle rain, it was like cats and dogs downpour rain.
Ew.
On us almost the entire time in Scotland. And we were prepared for rain, right? Like, we had raincoats, we had an umbrella, we had all the things. And it rained so hard that, like, our raincoats were soaked through. We went to the Cloisters, which is at the University of Glasgow, which I am pretty sure is the full inspiration for Hogwarts.
Amazing.
Because when you go in the Cloisters, when you go to the University of Glasgow, when you go see it, it's this very, like, gothic-looking university. It's gorgeous from the outside. And it was a Sunday when we were there, so there weren't too many people around. And it was pouring down rain. But the only people wandering around, for the most part, were, like, dressed up in capes. Had yes. their Harry Potter gear on, and I'm like, we're in the right place. We're just going to follow them. But you walk in this section of the university called the Cloisters, and it you feel just very magical walking in there because it's just like all of the different archways that you can see, and it's just this huge open space of archways with a courtyard in the middle, and you're like, I'm at Hogwarts right now. So that was the main thing we did in Glasgow. The other main reason we went to Glasgow is because my ancestors still have a castle in Scotland, and it's about an hour outside of Glasgow, which is the main reason it's in West Kilbride. And I really, really wanted to go visit my ancestral castle. So we went and took a tour and got to meet the clan leader and got to experience all that too.
That's amazing.
Which that was not Harry Potter.
I want to go to Scotland so bad.
Joy, I don't know if you actually told us. I think you mentioned it was this summer, but exactly what time of year was this trip?
We went over like 4th of July. So we left very end of June and came back like July 8th or 9th, I think. So we were gone that whole time frame.
Good to know. I wonder, I haven't looked into a trip to Scotland, if there is a time of year that is less rainy or not. Sometimes I think, where was I looking to? I don't know if it was me looking into Norway, which also can be somewhat rainy, very similar. And it was like April was a good time. I don't know if that's, which is rainy here, right? We think April showers bring May flowers. I just remember I was surprised at what was considered the rainy season.
I didn't do any research on that. I was like, you know what? We're going when
school.
We go.
Yeah.
We're taking summer the break. Deal.
That's great.
Whatever happens, happens. But it didn't rain as much. Like, we had the day we did the castle tour was like our only sunny day, but that was our castle tour day. So
perfect. It's great that you had sun on that day.
Well, yeah. In case anybody is wondering, Google says that the pleasant temperature is spring, April, and May, and then early fall, September, and October. It does say that. If you go in June to August, you should prepare for rain and pack layers. But you also have longer daylight hours, so there's the most tourists at that time, which makes a lot of sense.
It was daylight until about like 10 o'clock at night.
Oh my. I don't actually like that. But I guess it's good for sightseeing.
It was. And it was cold, actually, especially when you got up in the Highlands. Like, the high was 50, and it was really weird because when we got to London, it was 90, right? Like, 90 degrees in London on our first day there. So we had to pack basically in layers. Plus we had, like, I took a rain jacket, plus I took another jacket. And I was glad that when we went to the, I was first off glad we had our car, actually, because we had all of our stuff in our car so we could get more stuff out when we went on the boat excursion in the Highlands. But yeah, like, if you see some of our pictures, you can tell we're, like, in jackets layered up.
Yeah.
It was cold.
Yeah, the variation in temperature all over the UK is kind of crazy. I don't think we asked where you stayed in Glasgow.
So there's a DoubleTree right downtown. And that's, we, I just went for, like, the place that I could get availability on points that had availability for three people. And the DoubleTree was the best deal at the time. It was pretty nice. We just stayed there two nights. We weren't in the hotel very much, really just to sleep. And we ate dinner there one night. And then we left super early the next day. So
I love hearing availability for anywhere for three people, because I'm looking again for next summer. And it is shocking to me, shocking how there are hotels that have rooms available on points for two people. But as soon as I change the reservation to a third person, even if that person I think could fit in the room, boom, the points availability is wiped out and they have nothing. I mean, it is a real barrier to visiting Europe and finding places for a family. So I'm glad for the tip of a hotel, any name of any hotel that even lets three people into a room, because I have five and I'm willing to do two hotel rooms. I am not willing to do three hotel rooms and two in a room. So that's good to know.
Yeah, the DoubleTree was nice. I mean, it was just a pretty standard DoubleTree. They didn't give cookies upon arrival. I know. But outside of that, it was pretty, it was nice.
Amazing.
They had, like, some kind of anime convention going on, so we had lots of good people watching.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. That is some good people watching. Before we end here, is there anything else Harry Potter related in or around Glasgow that you wanted to do but maybe didn't get to do?
I would say not so much in Glasgow, but I would definitely go to Edinburgh and hit, like, the Elephant House, which is where J.K. Rowling wrote some of the books and spent a lot of time there. And there's a whole Harry Potter list. Like, if you search it, you can find so much more in Edinburgh. But it was, I mean, you have to go see the cloisters. Like, it, you really feel like you're just inside Hogwarts. I just thought of one more tip that I should have shared. When we were in Malag, because we beat the train there, we were just at a restaurant talking to some of the staff there. And several of them told us that doing the Jacobite, as cool of experience as it is, that you can actually do the Scotland Rail, which takes the exact same path for, like, half the price. And the because the Jacobite is such an old train, his words exactly were, the windows are so bloody scratched, you can't see anything. And on the Scotland Rail, because it's a newer train, you can actually, like, see more of the sights, but you don't get the whole Harry Potter experience with it. So if you want, like, a pseudo experience and don't have a car or don't want to drive and want to sit back and, like, see the scenery, you can book that same path on the Scotland Rail. Now, the timing may be different. You might not be able to align it with, like, the excursions and things on the island, but it's still a cool experience to do it that way.
Such a good tip. You heard it here first, people. Insider information.
Well, Joy, thank you so much. I know there are so many Harry Potter fans out there. I remember my best friend growing up. It's a part of childhood I can remember vividly. Vividly how much she loved Harry Potter. I went to the first movie with her. I was not a reader. I still to this day, I read very slowly. I became a reading specialist. I have a master's in reading education. And I still do not actually, I read about one book for pleasure a year. So I'm not a huge reader. And so I never got into the Harry Potter books. But my best friend growing up was so into them. And of course, I know so many friends and family and my niece and nephew and different people who've been into it over the years. So I know that this is a dream destination and a dream pilgrimage almost for Harry Potter fans to get to go and see all these filming locations and the tour. So thank you for sharing. Everybody go over to the Savvy Travel Mamas on Instagram. I'm sure there are some highlight reels there where you can see some of this, not just hear it, but actually see videos from Joy's trip. Joy, where else can people find you online?
Facebook and TikTok.
Okay, great.
Sites there too, yeah.
Thank you so much for spending this time with us today and talking about one of my favorite topics ever. I obviously now have to recreate. You know what? In fact, nobody who is listening is going to be able. Sorry, this is making a lot of noise. This is my laptop case.
Oh, look, you got the Hogwarts.
I have the Jacobite Hogwarts Express train on my laptop case. Like, that's how much of a nerd I am, you guys. So this was very exciting for me. Thank you so much for sharing with us and for being our first three-time guest.
Thanks for having me. It was a ton of fun, lady.
You're welcome. Everybody, make sure you're following Joy in all the places. You can find them in our show notes, and we will see you here next time.
Bye, guys.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new Travel Rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.